Well, our text is Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Appreciated that offertory, too, by Mrs. Day and Miss Garcia. That's tremendous. That was some highfalutin. And employees must wash their hands. I was going to try to explain that to you all tonight, but I thought maybe some of you were related to Elmer, so I didn't want to try it. Okay, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, as we bring a message on, I've titled, Man Up. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now shall we pray. Father, I pray now that as we look into this, your word tonight, I pray that you would just give understanding. Again, it's your message, not mine, and I pray that you would just deliver it as it is to men as they are in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We hear the term man up, and usually that means, hey, be responsible, do what you're supposed to do, don't make excuses, get it done. Okay? And that's the reason for the title for this message. Now, Moses prayed and asked God to give him a man that would follow in his steps and take the children of Israel into the promised land. And the man that God chose was Joshua. Now, Joshua had some interesting history before this choosing. He, for an example, he was the general in the war against Amalek, which was a great victory for Israel in the wilderness. He was the one that led in the war. We also know that when Moses went up on the mount to receive the law, he was there waiting for him when he came off the mount. He's the one that said, boy, it sounds like there's war drums going on down there. And he said, no, they're partying down there right now. And so they went down and took care of those things. When the 12 spies were sent out, he was one of them. And he and Caleb said, hey, let's go in and take it. Our God is great. The other 10 sons said, no, look at them. Well, they were looking at the people, and Joshua and Caleb were looking unto God. And they knew the Lord could do it. And then Moses anointed Joshua in front of all the people, and all could see that he was the man that God wanted. So here you have a man that's a general in the army. He stood with the minority when what the minority stood for was the right thing. He actually was up there, partway up the mount, when Moses was on the top of the mount receiving the law. And then also, he would not side with the golden calf people. You say, man, that Joshua is a brave man. Boy, he is one brave guy. Yet 4 times in this one chapter, Joshua is told to man up. To man up. So as we look at our text, we see that his call was a command with a promise from God here in these first 3 verses. God speaks to Joshua, and nothing happens, though, until God speaks to him. And then he's to go ahead with the Lord Jesus Christ, but he does not get ahead of the Lord. He waits until God speaks to him and gives him direction. Now, he's already been anointed. They know he's the leader. He's the guy to take over. But he doesn't move until God gives him direction to move. And the Lord says, Moses, my servant. Boy, isn't that a great way to be remembered as a servant of the Lord? He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Okay, that's it. He is dead. And once he says that, then he says, therefore, arise and go. Now, again, don't ever get ahead of the Lord. We read in Psalms, wait on the Lord. In several places in the scriptures, read, wait on the Lord. And the idea of the word wait actually has the idea of to wait a table. And so the person waiting the table, they bring out the things and they make sure that the people are fed and they make sure all the things are taken care of. They're waiting a table. And so when he says, wait on the Lord, he's saying, do what you're supposed to do right now. Just keep doing it. Be a man of prayer. Look into his word. Meditate on what God has for you. Be that man until God gives you the direction of the next way to go. And so that's what he does. He's waiting on the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 8, he said, and the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of suffering and mourning for Moses were ended. Moses is dead. The 30 days now they've been mourning for him, which is a good long mourning time. But now he says, okay, therefore. Now I've explained to you wherefore and therefore many times. Wherefore means God wants you to do this, and he's saying do it right now. Get it all done right now. Therefore means you do this and you keep doing it on your way. You started there, you're going over here, you do that on your way over there. And that is the idea behind therefore. You don't go until the Lord calls you, but when the Lord calls you to go and tells you to go, then you go. Now, I think of the wisest man in the Old Testament who would live about 400 to 500 years after Joshua. He made this statement, and that was Solomon. And it was really not his statement. It was the Holy Ghost giving him each word to write. But he says, there's a time to mourn, and there's a time to weep. But then he also said, there's a time to sow, and there's a time to gather. Now, they've been weeping for 30 days. They've been mourning the death of Moses, which was the right thing to do. Now he says, okay, now it's time to get up and get back to work. It's time to get up and go on and do the things life is going on. So you get up and do what you're supposed to do. And so God gives a command to go there in verse 2. And he's to go and cross over Jordan. Now, there will be details given to him as he goes. But the Lord doesn't tell him at that point, I'm going to part the River Jordan and you're going to walk up. That'll happen later in the book of Joshua. But he doesn't tell him that at that point. He's just told to go, so he heads towards Jordan. He heads towards the way God told him to go. Then God will let him know the next thing. I believe when I read 1 Corinthians 16:9 and following the call of God, he said, there's an effectual door there open to you, but there are many adversaries. If the Lord had emphasized the adversaries, I may not have gone, okay? But you know, the Lord has blessed. The Lord has blessed, but there's been many adversaries. I was sharing with our teachers a few months ago that after my dad passed away, I remember near the end of his ministry here, he had been through some hard times, and he says, boy, my name is mud in this community. Well, it really wasn't. It really wasn't. But he had felt the weight of everything that had hit him, and all these troubles had come from this direction and that direction. And finally, he just said, boy, my name is mud. Now, it wasn't. But boy, it's easy to feel that way, isn't it? It's easy to feel that way, that when everything goes wrong, you wonder, what's going to happen? Well, God will tell him what to do when he gets to Jordan. But it is God who has given the land. He says, you're going to go over Jordan to the land that God has given you. It's not Joshua that's going to give them the land. It is God who will give them the land. Now, you usually don't know the details in God's will. You just go when he says to go, and you wait each step for the direction. As he said to Moses, I like that, as he said unto Moses, God's plan doesn't change. His will is this, and you stick with it. He seeks for a man to carry it out. He doesn't change the will. He doesn't say, well, boy, Israel, boy, they've got off into all these other things now. I might as well just go along with it and just change. We'll take out commandments 3, 4, and 8. You know, he doesn't say that. No, the commandments are still there, the direction's still there, and it's the same land he wants them to go to. All right? God's will doesn't change. Now, you ever go to a high school reunion? I went to my 20th high school reunion. At the 20th, they had a vote on who looked the same as they did back in high school. I was just sure I was going to win that thing. My name didn't even come up. They had one that had the most children, and then if any of them had grandchildren at the 20th, they recognized that. Now, they just had the 50th high school reunion last year. I did not go. But one of my friends that did go told me, says, the main thing is they count how many have died already, and then they see who still remembers their own name. It just goes along with that. People change. Leadership changes. So the constant must be the word and will of God. God is still holy today as he was back when the law was given. So again, the word doesn't change. God doesn't change, for which I am greatly thankful. So the word of God is the constant. The leader must, as the forefathers, not give in to the culture and compromise. Joshua doesn't. And those who overlive, the Bible tells us in Judges chapter 1, that overlived Joshua, also they don't. But once they're all gone, the next generation takes them down the drain. You know, hey, we're in a different generation now. You got to wake up and smell the coffee. Coffee's a terrible thing. But Joshua is going to be the head for this point. He's at that point. He's the head. So he must man up as the head of a nation. And by the way, that's what you do. If you're a Christian, you're saved, you man up, whether you're the head of a nation, you're the head of a church, or you're the head of your home. Man up. Do what you're supposed to do. Do God's will, God's way. And don't miss the promise if you go. If he does it, he says, wherever you go, I like that. Wherever you go. He says, wherever you go, wherever you tread, I have given it to you. That's God. He says, I've given it to you. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 3 through 12, should I say, we read this. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's the way the Lord wants us to be. For there is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Now, then he says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And we need to have a mourning for souls. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. And by the way, it's through God's grace that we have peace with God. So we introduce people to the grace of God. You're a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And then he says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now, at the time, in all those things that we just read, you don't feel blessed. You don't feel blessed when you're mourning. You don't feel blessed when you're persecuted. You don't feel blessed to be meek. But you're blessed because it has the guarantee of the one who cannot lie that he's going to make all the blessings that he said would happen. He will make it happen. Therefore, faith acts on what God says to do. It understands there's opposition. But you act on what God says to do regardless of the opposition, because he is going to reward it. He will bless it. But remember, these promises are fulfilled in the future. He doesn't say blessed are because at the very same moment this is going to happen. No. Blessed are because ye shall. So you trust God until then. And you just believe that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now either God is true or God's a liar. And he's true. He's never a liar. And he said, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory. In other words, as great as suffering can be, it'll seem minute in comparison to the greatness of the glory when you have stood true to the Lord and have not abandoned him. So, why are they blessed when they are being persecuted and people are lying about them, saying all these things, and they don't see all these blessings right away? Well, it's because the blessing is in eternity. Now, there are present blessings. There really are. There are present blessings. You've been praying for somebody and they get saved. That is a blessing. You're praying for somebody and God heals them. That's a blessing. I mean, they're blessings. You have answered prayer, and those are blessings. But understand, present blessings are present blessings. The eternal blessings last forever. Eternal blessings. And it's when we get that in our heart and we learn to simply trust him that we'll understand that. Now, not only do we see a call with a command and promise, but we secondly see the call for courage and strength. Man up. In verses 5 through 7, let's look down there. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance, for an inheritance the land, which I swear to their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now, he is told here, be strong and of a good courage. This is the first time in this chapter that he has been told this. And the good and courage and strong is speaking of his character. Encourage people in the will of God. Now, don't be blind about it. Just blind encouragement. Understand, we can always find the truth in God's word, and that's where you encourage people. And there's a reason for courage here, because of the promise of God. He had already promised this unto Moses. Now, was Moses opposed? Yes. Several times they all talked about killing him and going back to Egypt. But Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12 said Moses was blessed long after it had happened. You see, he was persecuted for righteousness' sake, but he stuck to it. He never departed from it. He was a man of conviction, of courage, and strength. You'll notice the first promise of verse 5. No man can stand before you all the days of your life. God is making that promise. God is making that promise. Now, he didn't say there would be no opposition and it would be easy. He didn't say that. He just said they won't be able to stand before you. You've got to go and you've got to do it God's way, but you go according to God's will. He says, as I was with Moses. Well, you remember what God did for Moses in Egypt? Pharaoh threatening him and everything else, but who won? As I was with him in Egypt and in the wilderness, hard times. Yes. But they got the victory. They got the victory. If you look at present circumstances, you may simply quit. That's the easiest thing to do is quit. to back off. You know, a lot of times people don't quit, they just back off. That's quitting. That's quitting. Well, you used to have devotions. Well, you used to go visiting. Yeah, you used to give out tracts. Yeah, you used to do this, you used to do that. But and still do sometimes. No. Don't back off. Don't back off. Never back off. You keep it on. You keep going. So quit looking at the present circumstances and look into eternity. Have eternity set in your heart and know God will bless being faithful and obedient unto Him. You see, what he's basically telling, as I was with Moses, he's telling Joshua, I'm the same God of Moses. When Joshua was praying to God, he was praying to the same God that Moses prayed to. He was talking to the same God, and the same God was talking to him. And by the way, you and I, when we talk to God, we are talking to the same God Moses and Joshua talked to. He still lives, and he still hears, and he still answers prayer. But there's an if. We must be obedient unto him. That's the if. We must be obedient unto him. Now, never call God a liar. Never call him a liar. You say, well, I'd never do that. Well, he says, as he was with Moses, I will be with thee. That's the sure thing. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. Now, he can say, well, I'm going to do what God says, but I just don't think he's going to do for me what he did for Moses. Well, then you've just called God a liar. He may not be with you in the same way. He's got a different will for each person and how he uses them and how he blesses them, but he is with you. Do God's will, God's way, in God's time, and never give in and turn to the flesh. God says that to do that is cursed in Jeremiah 17:5 and 48:10. So the first admonition to be strong and of a good courage is given here in verse 6. You're going to divide the land among the people, he's told. So you must be the example of courage. You must be the example of strength because you are the leader of my people. Just like men, you're the leader of your home. Just like people on the job may be leaders, they're on the job. And just like when there's an unsaved person, you're the leader that's been called to be the witness to them. When God puts you in leadership, it will be something that Satan will try to discourage and he will attack it. So be strong. Don't cower before criticism. Then have courage. Have courage not just to say, well, I'm courageous or what. No, have courage that's built on the promises of God. You're trusting God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In other words, I know what God's saying, but lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If he's going to direct them, let him do it. Follow it. Lead others to follow it. He directs the paths. And so you're simply called to just trust God in whatever he'd have you to do. Joshua has a job to do, and that is to divide the land. But there is a strong enemy in that land. But we have a strong enemy. Brother Randy brings some things out in our You Ought to Know segment that once a month. And that just tells us we have a strong enemy. In California, I was sharing with the folks some on Wednesday night. In California, a mother was putting little notes in her son's lunchbox that had scripture verses on it. And that boy would get home, or get to school, should I say, open his lunch, and he'd see that note, scripture verse, maybe something else written beside it, and he would share it with some of the other kids. What'd they do? They sent the authorities out there to arrest those people at their home in the land of the free. What a shame that is. But That's the time to trust God. Yes, it costs something to do that. But when the world comes back on it and tries to imitate you and to make you quit, if that lady quits, she teaches her son that it's not a real conviction with her. Man up on your morals. Man up on the things of God. Man up on righteousness. Man up. Do right. Do right. So trust. That's the opposite of being fearful. That's the opposite of not being courageous. Trust God. Then he gives a second admonition there in verse 7. God is still conversing with Joshua. And he's not only told him to trust God, but secondly, be strong and courageous as God commanded you, because you must obey all God commanded as his given word to Moses there. But he just doesn't leave it there. He says, don't turn to the right hand or to the left. Doesn't matter if it's Catholicism, Calvinism, Charismatics, whatever other C may be in there, okay? Contemporary, on down the line. Look, you don't. Instead, you trust God. Do God's will, God's way. Keep it in mind, God is holy. If you don't trust God, if you don't trust Him, you'll never be determined in the will of God. You'll be movable. You'll be the compromiser. You've got to be determined. Courage and strength are obtained by being a man of the book. Again, let's look at verses 8 and 9. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Okay, you observe, you do it. Now notice the rest of it. For then... Then, when you obey, then comes after. Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. Then shalt thou have good success. If you're wanting prosperity and success before following God, it's not going to happen. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now think. This is the third time now in these first 9 verses that he's been told to be strong and of good courage. Joshua, the general, Joshua, the man that stood, Joshua is told the third time here, be strong and of a good courage. He's told, man up. In verse 8, it's not to depart out of thy mouth. If it's not going to depart out of your mouth, then you must meditate in it day and night, because it's of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Have you ever laid awake at night trying to figure something out? I mean, it just got with you and you're just trying to figure it out. And or maybe you've talked to someone that's, they're up on all the computer stuff and all that, and I'm not knocking it right now, but they're... They're up to date on the latest web stuff, the latest book face or whatever it is, technology and all that. And they're in the know in those things. Why? Because that's their life. They're in the know because that's their life. People say you need to get a life, but not that one. And I'm not down on that. I'm just saying, let the word of God be your life. Man up. Don't miss that the way is the will of God. You want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? You won't if you don't man up and do what you're supposed to do. Instead, you'll be saved so as by fire. And by the way, don't be so little and low down and ignorant that you're just satisfied as long as you're saved. That's all that counts. That's not a person that loves God, even though they may say they do. Honey, I'm just going to go out and party all night, but I love you. That goes over real big, doesn't it? So you meditate in His Word as if you were going to be tested on it. Let it be in your mouth. Let it be the abundance of your heart so that you speak it constantly. So that's what you talk about because it's in your heart. Basically, it's saying this. You can't be a man of the book if you are not you can't man up if you're not a man of the book, is what I'm trying to say. You can't man up if you're not a man of the book. You cannot man up in spiritual things. You've got to have the authority. That's why Psalms 138:2 said that He's magnified His word even above His name. Some of these things that Brother Osborne speaks about in our times here together when he does You Ought to Know and when he's preached some of these sermons, those are things that we've got to stand on the book, not on a political party. We've got to stand on the book because political parties change. If you went back and looked at Republicans in the 50s and 60s and then compare them to today, today would be more like a liberal Democrat. If you look at the Democrats back in the 50s and 60s, they'd be more today like a socialist. Now, I'm not making an accusation. I'm just saying that's the way it is. Okay? That's just the way it is. See, that has changed because the principles change with the times. We've got a Word of God that doesn't change. We've got a God that doesn't change. So you stick with the Word. So success and prosperity is dealing with the will of God. And the day that you stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ, did you go by the book? And then in verse 9, there's a third time he's told to be strong and of a good courage. Three times now. Be strong of a good courage. Don't be afraid. Why? Well, you've been trusting God. You've been a man of the book. And you have a prayer life. You're talking to God. And so, be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid. I mean, if Josh wasn't talking to God, God wouldn't have been talking to him. He may have called for him, but he had to answer. So you talk to God. Be a man of courage. You'll give an answer before Him. You prayed about it. You know God's will for you. He never leaves thee. He never forsakes thee. So, man up. God doesn't lie. He won't leave you nor forsake you. You just need to be a man of the book. Notice verses 16 through 18. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou hast commanded us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According to, as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Now think about that. These people that are getting ready to go into the land were people that earlier, when they went into the land 40 years earlier to check out the land, and said, no, we can't go in there. They're too strong for us. All those people died. These people were either 20 years old or younger, with the exception of Caleb and Joshua. They know what God did in the wilderness. They know how God used Moses. So they said, man, we want God to be with you just like he was with Moses. So they're praying for God to do that for him. But he's got to walk with God. He's got to be faithful. He's got to do God's will, God's way. Now, in these last verses, Joshua, just before that, had addressed the people and gave them commands as the Lord had told them to command them. Their answer is, we'll do what you tell us to do. But we'll also pray that God will be with you as he was with Moses. So Joshua better walk with God and talk with God on a daily basis. And there's responsibility for people to pray for leadership. So I said this morning, pray for your president, you pray for your governor, you pray for those in authority. Whether it's in the home, whether it's in the church, or whether it's in the government, you pray for those in authority. Verse 18, though, he ended with, be strong and of a good courage. Isn't that interesting? God has told him three times, be strong and of a good courage. And now the people, the fourth time in this one chapter, are saying, be strong and of a good courage. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 7, verse 23, Moses is still alive. And in both those verses, he tells them, be strong and of a good courage. Now you say, well, what's this, the man that was one of the 12 that said, we can go in there? Isn't that the man that led the army in the battle? Isn't this the man that stood there on the mountain, stood against the people that were the calf worshipers? I mean, isn't that the man? Yes. But there is something about Joshua that says, that guy's not a brave guy. That guy's fearful. That guy, we don't know that he really wants to do this work or if he really will lead us. We don't know if he will stand when he's at crunch time. For God to give him twice from Moses, three times from himself, and once from the people, to be told, be strong and of a good courage, he must have been a fearful man. I mean, he must have been a guy that, I don't know. And maybe you've been there. We're told to witness, and you get that little feeling in your heart, you're talking to somebody, and you don't witness because you're scared. And you say, well, boy, if God would just give me the courage, I'd do it. No, you take courage. He says, you be strong and of good courage, and then God will give you the strength as you do it. See, Joshua had to walk to and take the people to the Jordan River before the Lord would tell him, okay, now I'm going to part the river. If he doesn't walk them to the river, that doesn't happen. You do what God says to do, and then when there's an enemy, and when there's an opposition, and when there's that thing that is there that wants to keep you from doing it, you know that God will provide as long as you do what you're supposed to do, because you're obeying him. You're doing what God said to do. Then there's strength. There's courage. So you seek him diligently to know his call and trust him. Be that man of God. Be that man of prayer. Trust him. Trust his person. Trust the person of God. Can you trust the person of God? Trust him and his call. Obey his commands. How many have known they were called to the ministry but didn't last? They did not last. Oh, they may have never been called. No, I don't think that. I think that when opposition came, they cowered. When people want to go this way, they cowered. No, you stand. Obey his commands. Be a man or a woman of the book. And then stay the course that God wants you to finish strong. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be troubles. There's going to be trials. But stay the course. Our reward is in heaven, and it is great. So man up. Just man up. Let's bow our heads. Father, in a moment we're going to sing hymn 487, Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow. That's not knowing where He's going to lead, but just trusting Him wherever He leads. As he opens up avenues along the way and shows us what he wants us to do next, we just trust him. Where he leads, I will follow. And Father, I pray that you would move in your way that only you can move. That there's anyone, Lord, that you're talking to tonight, whether it's for the mission field, whether it's for full-time Christian service or whether it's just here to say, I want to serve the Lord and do it with a good courage and strength. Following God's will, doing God's will, God's way. Lord, give us those kind. We're in the last days. We're opposed. We know that. But greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Help us to walk with You as we ought to walk. In Jesus' name, amen.